From NPR and Futuro Media, it's Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today, we bring you an episode from our vault, a conversation with actor Selenis Leyva. In 2015, Selenis joined me in the Latino USA studios in Harlem to talk about her success in the hit Netflix series, Orange is the New Black. The show revolved around the lives inside a women's federal prison and immediately gained praise for humanizing people who are behind bars. Back then, it had just premiered its third season. This past summer, after seven seasons, Orange is the New Black has come to an end.
Man, you doing okay?
I'm fine.
I know, but we made a deal. We're gonna get each other through this.
In the series, Selenis played the character Gloria Mendoza. She's a strong and complex Latina woman in prison. Gloria is also a mother outside of prison and a mother figure to some of the young Latinas inside the prison. So, needless to say, her character is a natural leader. In real life, Selenis Leyva is just as passionate. She uses her success to speak up on the issues she cares most about. First, a small spoiler alert for any of you who have never seen the show. Because this interview aired in June of 2015, we talked vaguely about Gloria's story on seasons 2 and 3. Nothing too specific, but you're warned. Selenis Leyva, it is such a pleasure to have you in the studios right here in Harlem of Latino USA. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It really is a wonderful celebration of our cultura to
our
be
cultura.
Here.
But, you know, the first question I was thinking, I was like, okay, well, I have to, of course, you are an actress that has a breadth of work.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of you now, Orange is the New Black, so. Your character is Gloria Mendoza, who manages the kitchen now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, y esa cara, that face, that pursing of the lips is so perfect.
Oh, thank you.
And it is a little bit, it is a little bit of the angry Latina, right?
It is. And this is a woman that's been through a lot. You know, when we got to see Gloria's backstory in season 2 and we saw that she's a survivor of domestic violence. This is a woman who is poor, who was struggling to maintain a family at the same time, you know, having this relationship that was completely out of hand. She's angry and she's tired and she's locked up in prison. But she's the mother hen. You know, she's la mamá de todas las chicas. So there is a soft side of her, and I'm so happy that we got to see more of that.
But what about this notion of the angry Latina? Do you worry about that?
You know, I don't think that I'm worried that it's just that, because the show has so many layers. Jenji Cohen, what she's done is brilliant. She has introduce us to all these women and men, and then she goes, this is them, and then you think that's all you're going to get, and then she starts stripping away layer after layer after layer. So there's beauty in it. Yes, first season, I came off as a sassy Latina. You know, all my one-liners, it was all about my sass.
Hey, Blanca, you speak Spanish?
Un poco. Entiendo más de lo que puedo hablar.
You see? White girl speaks Spanish.
Then second season, it was like she was angry, you know. But third season, you get to see a softer side of her. And Latinas, we're layered, you know. Women in general, we're layered. And we do have to work extra hard. As a Latina in Hollywood, I know I have to work extra, extra, extra hard. I, even on a hit show like Orange is the New Black, Selenis Leyva has to work really, really hard to be relevant, because the scripts are not, no one's knocking on my door going, here, throwing scripts at me yet. You know, I don't know if we get that. Most Latinas don't. And there is a certain anger sometimes that one tends to kind of feel, you know, and I have to be very careful with that, because this has been 20 years to be an overnight success, and it's been really frustrating. And there are moments where I fight to make sure that I don't become bitter. I don't become angry.
You said it's been 20 years to become an overnight success. And I'm just thinking about those 20 years as a Latina actor.
Mm-hmm.
What kept you, you know, what kept you going to not say, because I'm sure there were people in your family and et cetera, who was like, Selenis, pero ya.
Yes, yes.
Pero ya deja eso, you know, just like get a real job.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. 3 years ago, before Orange, 6 months before Orange, I had a moment. And I remember I was alone in my living room. I started to cry. I threw myself on the floor and I said, I get it. I'm not supposed to be doing this. And I said, God, I get it. I surrender. I'm going to start looking for jobs. And listen, in 20 years, I've been able to work as an actress, but it was gigs. You know, it was like you have a gig for a couple of weeks and then you have 6 months of no work. You know, you have a gig where you say two lines and then you're not really part of the work of the success of a show. I found it not to be cute to be a struggling actor when you're an adult. It was just hard. And I have a daughter. And I was like, I have to leave her something, a legacy. I have to leave her something. She can't look at me and see me struggling all of my life. So I was ready to give it up. And then I got Orange. And it was, I think that for me, the true, true breakthrough is when you surrender, that's when things come your way. They do.
So I'm wondering if there's like when you're having that moment of like, yes, we did it. And we're like, you know, Emmy and this. And,
yeah.
And is there a little voice that says, I only wish I could tell Fulanito de Tal or if he could see me now. Is there a moment when you think about something that you heard from one of your auditions, your many auditions that they turned you down and they said, and I don't know, what is the thing that someone said that is like, that makes your blood boil?
Oh, there's so many. I don't think the show was long enough. Yeah, I think that they could see it. They've seen it. Unless you've been living under a rock, you've seen what I've done, what I've been able to accomplish, not only in 20 years, but in the last 3 years on this show. I had a guidance counselor when I was in junior high school in the Bronx. And I said, I want to go to LaGuardia High School. I want to go to LaGuardia High School so badly. I want the application. And he said, no. You should go into a secretarial program. Norman Thomas is a great place you can go to. And he didn't give me the application. I had to go back and ask for it again, and he threw it at me. So if I could, you know, I think, I mean, I don't know if he's around still, but if he is or isn't, I think that I'd like to say, you see, I knew what I was talking about. You see, I am somebody, you know. So... And I say this to my daughter all the time and to all the young Latinas who come up to me. They're like, what, you know, how did you do it? And I said, honey, it's hard. It's really, really difficult. But make sure you're educated. Make sure you are prepared. Because when the opportunity does present itself, you better be prepared. Because we don't get too many chances. We don't get a second chance.
So in your own family, there were tough times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about what your mom and dad had to do when your brother got sick.
Yes.
And just reading that, my heart, your brother was 3 years old when he was...
He was 3 years old when he was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And they told my parents, you should probably prepare, you know, funeral services. My father did not work. Once my brother got sick, he didn't leave his bedside. My father was in that ICU for 3 months, holding on to my brother's hand day in, day out. And we suffered as, you know, financially. We saw ourselves in a really bad place. And he was in ICU for 3 months in Montefiore Medical Center in the Bronx. And it was rough. But he survived.
And then something beautiful happens that is also really spiritual. Is when your parents basically say to Los Santos, the God, to whoever they say, you know, if you cure our son, we will open our doors.
Yes.
And then your home became open to lots of foster kids.
Lots of foster children.
Was that strange too? Was that like,
that was
what?
Strange. That was very strange because, you know, we went from being three, you know, my brothers and myself, and my mother then said, no, you're, and she said, she became a foster mom. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, yo hice una promesa. I made a promise. And she says, and I have to honor it. And for years, foster kids came in and out of our home. And it was very sad. And it was because it was almost like, yay, we have a new baby brother or sister. And then they would, you know, leave. But from that event, my parents adopted two children.
And one of the things that happened with one of your brothers that was adopted, mm-hmm. and that makes this incredible full circle for you,
yeah.
Working with Laverne Cox, mm-hmm. is that your brother transitioned to being a female.
Yeah, she's a transgender woman. And I knew from the age of 3 years old, I knew that that she moved different, that there was something, her essence was different. And I would let, when we were alone, I would let her be her. I would let her do my hair. That's what she wanted to do. I would let her put on my shoes, you know, and I would just, because I knew, I couldn't tell you what it was at the time, but I knew that it made her happy, you know. And at the age of 16, she came out and said, I'm gay. And I remember saying, but do you want to be a woman? And at the time she said, no, I'm just gay. And then slowly realized it herself, that indeed she was a woman.
Do you remember when you shared that with Laverne Cox?
Yeah. Well, we had a good cry. Oh my God, don't get emotional now, Selenis. It was the first season. And I remember looking at her and saying, you have a big responsibility. And I said, you know, and I shared, I said, you know, my sister's transgender and you've given her a voice. And she says, well, she's always had a voice. I said, no, not in this way. I saw what my sister lived through and I could only imagine that, you know, and I know from conversations with Laverne that she's had the same type of experience and the same pain. And now, my goodness, you know, we are here. We're on a show that's giving us a platform to have these types of conversations, to educate people, to say, I am Seleni Slava. I play Gloria Mendoza on Orange is the New Black. My sister's transgender, and I'm going to tell you her story. I think I have a responsibility to do that.
Coming up on Latino USA, my conversation with Seleni Slava continues.
I am an Afro-Latina. And the roles being offered to me were, well, you could play the maid.
Stay with us. No te vayas.
The yield curve has inverted. In the past, this has been an indicator that a recession is on its way. But will this time be different? Listen to The Indicator from Planet Money, NPR's daily economics podcast, to find out.
Hey, we're back. And when we left off, Seleni Slava told me about toiling as an actress for years before her big break, a break that has helped to amplify her voice. We look back now at her years of struggling as an actress and as a woman of color and how they inform her roles today. In the beginning of your career as an actor, you spent a lot of time in the theater.
Yes.
In New York.
Mm-hmm.
You worked at the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater.
Yes.
You were part of other theater companies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you take us back and describe those years at a time when being a woman of color and a Latina, you know, breaking into theater? What was that like?
You know, I was lucky. I think I was fortunate that the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater opened its doors for me. And that was my first professional job, that I got my equity card from that. And I was proud of that. I was proud that I was going to be working on a stage where my parents could come and see it and understand what I was saying, because my parents speak Spanish. And for me, the fact that my first professional job was at the PRTT will forever be amazing, because the first time I went to see a play as a young lady was at the PRTT. I got on the yellow school bus and with my brown paper bag lunch, and we sat there in that audience, and I remember looking at the young Latina on stage, and I was mesmerized by her. Mesmerized. I was like, that needs to be me. And then years later, that was my first professional job. And then after that, I worked at La Mama. I worked at the New Yorican Poets Cafe with New Yorican Rule, the sketch comedy troupe. That was an amazing time in my life. It got me really, really ready for, like, you know, to work on TV, because you have to be fast. You have to be quick. You have to, you know, what you're doing to do comedy, period. But it was difficult, of course, you know. Even in the Latino theater world, I think that there were moments where I felt frustrated because I am an Afro-Latina, and the roles being offered to me were, well, you could play the maid. We have a wonderful part in, you know, in Lorca's production, and you're the maid. So I would have to do plays where I would sit off in the side, wait for my, you know, entrance as the La Criada, while other, you know, lighter skinned actresses shined and had their moments. And
so
I couldn't
even
do that.
Even doing Latino theater, yes, because you're Afro Latina, yes, there was like
I was other in our community still. I would not be given the opportunity. And then slowly when I was given the opportunity, it was like, well, we're going to give you this, but you're going to share the role, you know, or we're going to give you this. But, you know, it was frustrating. It was really frustrating at times. Not all the time was it like that, but there were many, many, many occasions where I felt that I was not given an opportunity because I was not fair-skinned. And unfortunately, you know, our people have an idea sometimes going, ah, que eres trigueña, el pelo bueno, el pelo malo. Like, that's such a big thing where I was always like, well, what about me as an actress? I could do the part, right? So that was an interesting time, you know. But those same people now, I think, would probably want me to go to their theater and not play the maid.
Oh, I bet. I'm sure of that. What does it feel like to go from being an actor who sometimes was dismissed, who had to fight to feel visible, to now being an actor that's on a hit show, critically acclaimed, but that you actually have the power within the team to have those conversations with Genji, the creator, or with the writers, and for them to listen to you? You're shaking your head.
It's so amazing. It's a relief, because then you do feel like you're part of the creative process. You know, for years, I came in and I was given a script and I was told, this is what your character is going to say and this is what your character is going to wear. And I remember times going, why would she wear this? You know, because I'm Latina. I mean, I have stories about, you know, why am I looking like a prostitute if I'm, you know, playing a lawyer? Yo, because I'm Latina, you know. So, but in this show, you get to have conversations, you get to have dialogue and say, you know what, I don't think that Gloria would say that, or that doesn't feel right. And it is a real collaborative effort to build these characters. And that's why I think the voices are so authentic.
Right. So even though you started in the first season with, you know, as you're saying, basically these great sassy one-liners, now we get to see Gloria as a full character. So what does that mean for you?
For me to be here season three and to really have been given a story with a real nice, beautiful arc, to me was like the icing on the cake. It's what I wanted from day one as an actor, just to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, a story that's being told, a story that is relevant, a story that's going to have people talking. And I'm representing the Latino community in this show. On this show, I'm representing the Latina. Yes, I am a prisoner, but she's layered. She's a survivor. She's smart. She was running a business before she got locked up. She's a mother. She believes in her religion. She's a santera. She takes care of her chicas in the prison. She's no nonsense. She is what I think of when I think of a Latina. I think of a strong survivor. And that's what Gloria Mendoza is. She made a mistake, yes, but she's a survivor. She's a strong, strong woman.
Do you feel that that is sort of, and I know that we're going from very specific to now hyper broad.
Oh, yeah.
about Latinas and our position in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling anything like something is changing? Because as you know, Latinas are the most powerful consumers. We make the decisions about what movies we're going to see and mm-hmm. take our families. We're often
And yet we're still not leads.
And yet we're still not leads.
Yeah.
Or directing,
or
right?
directing or calling major shots. I think there's an imbalance. You know, as much as we were saying, oh, but we are, look at it, then look at the numbers, look at all the progress. There's still an imbalance in how that's being distributed. There's still an imbalance in how it's being put out there. And for some reason, and this has been always been my frustration, and even so more now, where I go, why aren't we saying anything? Why aren't we getting angry? Why aren't we doing anything? Why aren't we being vocal?
And you seem very comfortable with mm-hmm. making these statements about yeah. what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Were you always that way? Just like, yes, yes.
I was. And now people want to hear me. Where before I'd be like begging them, I have something to say. I swear I have an opinion. And they wouldn't be like, ah, cállate la boca. Now it's like, yes, we want to hear what you have to say.
And what do you think about that as you look at it and just say, what just happened over the past 20 and then just the past 3 years?
I say, well, you know what? It's about time. It's good. Not only am I a working actress, I have that. I have the respect I feel of the community at large when it comes to my craft. That's a wonderful thing. But now I have a responsibility to really speak out for those that don't have the platform.
And that's what I was going to ask you about finally. In the case of Orange is the New Black, you know, the fact that it is on Netflix, you know, one of the first series from Netflix, which is a very different dynamic, that show and the actors and writers are having a major impact in national conversations.
Yeah.
That's a big platform.
It's big, but it's so sweet. You know, I think back and sometimes I go, well, why did it take so long? You know, why did it take me so long to get to this place of success, right? Of acknowledgement, of celebrity status. And I think it's because I had to live a life. I had to really experience things so that once I got to a place that I am now, I could really talk about it from a real place. I know, I had many opportunities where I thought it was going to happen. It was like, 20 years old, I was like, oh, I'm going to be famous. And it didn't happen, or things fizzled out. But I didn't have much to say. It was all about me, you know. I think that with time, with experience, you realize the importance that the world really does not just revolve around you, that it's bigger than you, that it's bigger than this acting moment, that there's so many things that you need to fix. As a mother, I want a better world for my daughter, you know, and now I'm on this show that's entertaining and that's educating because it's worldwide. There have been cases where people have said the word transgender, even they were like, oh, there's so many different types of Latino. Are there really different types of Latinos? You know, people didn't know that there were different types of Latinos somewhere in the Midwest, you know, or wherever in the country. That to me is like, wow, this show has really started a revolution, you know. We are educating, we are entertaining, and we are making history, and I'm a part of that.
Selenice, thank you so much for spending some time with us on
Latino
USA. And thank you for all of your work.
Thank you very much. It was my pleasure to be here.
That was actress Selenice Leyva, who plays Gloria Mendoza on the hit Netflix series Orange is the New Black. The 7th and final season is available streaming on Netflix. This episode was produced by Daisy Rosario and Camilo Vargas. The Latino USA team includes Fernanda Camarena, Miguel Macias, Sofia Palizacá, Antonia Cerejido, Maggie Freeling, and Janice Yamoka, with help this week from Ginny Montalvo. Our engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our production manager is Natalia Fidelholtz. Our New York Women's Foundation Ignite Fellow is Fernanda Uriegas. Our theme music was composed by Zenia Rubinos. If you like the music you heard on this episode, stop by latinousa.org and check out our weekly Spotify playlist. I'm your host and executive producer, Maria Hinojosa. Join us again on our next episode. And in the meantime, look for us on all of your social media. Hasta la próxima. Ciao.
Latino USA is made possible in part by California Endowment, building a strong state by improving the health of all Californians. Funding for Latino USA's coverage of A Culture of Health is made possible in part by a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And the Heising Simons Foundation, unlocking knowledge, opportunity, and possibilities. More at hsfoundation.org.
Vote for whoever you want, but vote.